Welcome to Just a Minute. Thank you. Hello, my name is Nicholas Parsons, and as the minute waltz fades away, once more it's my huge pleasure to welcome our many listeners in this country and around the world. And also to welcome to the program four exciting, talented people who are going to display their knowledge of language and use of words as they try and speak on the subject that I give them. And they do that without hesitation, repetition, or deviation. And those four are seated on my right, Paul Merton, and with him someone who's only played the game once before, and that is Ian McMillan, and seated on my left, Tony Hawkes, and with him someone who's also only played the game once before, that is Shappi Kosandi. Would you please welcome all four of them? Beside me sits Judy Stevens. He's going to help me with the score and also blow the whistle when the 60 seconds have arrived. And this particular edition of Just a Minute is coming from the beautiful Opera House in the centre of that fine city of Manchester. And as you can hear, we have a vociferous, keen and animated Mancunian audience ready to enjoy themselves and cheer us on our way as we begin the show with Tony Hawkes. Tony, a topical subject to start with, the war of the roses. They're having to think about that for a moment. But will you talk on the subject, Tony? 60 seconds as usual, starting now.
I'm not sure how topical the 15th century is. However, I will...
Paul Challenge.
It was very topical in the 15th century. Extremely topical.
Yes, but I think by topical he means today, doesn't he?
Yeah, I think he does.
Yes, he does. I don't think I can even give you the benefit of the doubt on that one, no. It's a nice challenge. If we got a bigger laugh, I might have given you a point.
But Tony,
an incorrect challenge. And there are 55 seconds still available. The War of the Roses starting now.
Many hundreds of years ago, it wasn't like it is now. The people of Manchester and Leeds didn't all get together and love each other as they do today. Liverpudlians didn't pull on England's shirts with the good burghers of Hull and cheer their team to an unsuccessful competition attempt to get into the finals as they did recently.
Paul Charles.
Well, it's a mercy killing, really. just rambling away.
And I know. Deviation from English.
Of course it was.
From English, as we understand.
It's all over the place.
So you have the benefit of the doubt on this occasion, Paul. And you have 33 seconds. Tell us something about the War of the Roses starting now.
I never did this at school.
Paul gets a bonus point because they enjoyed what he said. And there are 31 seconds available still. The War of the Roses, Tony, starting now.
Danny DeVito directed and starred in this film from the 80s, I believe. Not certain on that, but someone will probably pick me up on that if I'm wrong. Kathleen Turner?
Paul Challenge.
Repetition of that.
That. Well, listen, Paul. The War of the Roses is back with you. With 20... Does this help you if I was to say, last time I was sitting at Old Trafford watching Lancashire play Yorkshire at cricket?
Yes.
And I applauded Hutton because he made a very nice thing. And they said, do you come from Yorkshire? And I said, no. And he said, do you come from Lancashire? And I said, no. He said, well, what the bloody hell's it got to do with you anyway? That is the modern War of the Roses.
Thank you.
Does it help you? 21 yes, seconds, starting now.
Danny DeVito directed a film in 1940 called War of the Roses, and it was a magnificent movie. He was at his best as a diminutive directorial force in the motion picture industry. If we look at his career, which culminated in that magnificent...
Yes, go on. Shappi, you challenged.
Yes, he deviated.
He deviated because it's the War of the Roses, and we don't want to hear about Danny DeVito anymore.
No.
Right, so you have a correct challenge, and you have 6 seconds on War of the Roses starting now.
The War of the Roses started when my neighbour's roses climbed into my garden, and I looked and I thought...
Ian Challenge.
Repetition of my. My,
yes.
Neighbour and my garden.
Two mys.
Yeah, it's all my, I.
It's very difficult when you haven't played the game very often. Right, Ian, there's only 1 second left, which is maybe an advantage. War of the Roses starting now.
Submarines weren't used in the War of the Roses.
So, Ian McMillan was speaking as a whistle went, and whoever does that on this show gains an extra point. And he's now in second place alongside Tony Hawks, one ahead of Shappy, and Paul's one ahead in the lead. Paul, your turn to start, and the subject, a nice one, pantomime dames. We'll talk on that subject starting now.
There was quite a few famous pantomime dames came from this area. Les Dawson, Roy Barraclough, and people who might remember Norman Evans from the 40s and 50s were all fine exponents of this craft. I once had the great pleasure of appearing as an ugly sister with Ronnie Corbett in a pantomime for a rival network to the B one we're on now. And I realised that working with the diminutive Ron was a great treat for me. He was fantastic and showed me how you made the slot, which is the bucket of whitewash that you throw over each other in the wallpapering scene.
Yeah, Shappy, you're challenged.
I think you're deviating.
Yes, he's talking about him and Ronnie Corbett.
Who's the best friend of mine, Dames? No. Your ugly sisters.
That's not a dame. Oh, it's the ugly sisters. The dame is the woman.
Oh, yes.
Yes, right, yes. It's a woman. Dame Trot. They have the ugly sisters, but they don't have a dame. The dame is all the ones that Les Dawson
plays. Ugly sisters, if he's Ronnie Corbett's sister.
Yeah, I think that might have been the joke, Ian.
Was it a joke? I see. That's what they call musical.
Yeah. That's why it died out. No. Nobody ever got it.
No, I didn't get it.
No, he didn't get it. No.
So, Shappy, a correct challenge. He was deviating from pantomime dames. Will you tell us something about that subject? 29 seconds, starting now.
Sadly, the pantomime is a cultural phenomenon that I have missed out on. My parents never took me to see a pantomime, therefore I'm not entirely sure what
Ian Challenge.
So there must be a deviation if you don't know what it is. You can't talk about something if you don't know what it is.
In just a minute, you might get a subject thrown at you, even if you don't know much about it. You have to improvise.
Yeah.
You have to go. This is what the show's about, actually, Ian.
Is it? Oh, sorry.
All right.
So, to be honest, I quite enjoyed the interruption, because I really don't know what to say about pantomime dames.
Well, just ad-lib some rubbish, darling.
Okay.
ad-lib some rubbish?
Well, I've heard it spoken by any number of the panelists on occasions.
I've lots to say about pantomime horses.
Darling, just try and connect it to a dame.
Okay. Just say what you'd say about horses, we just swap it around.
Right. 21 seconds. Pantomime dames starting now.
Pantomime dame is something I've never been asked to perform, and if I did, I would definitely want to play the back end. I'm thinking that in my time, I won't be asked to be a pantomime dame because my head isn't quite... Hello! Heather...
So what is your buzz when the rules are just a minute, Ian McMillan?
It was, there was hesitation, and also it was deviation, because you were talking about pantomime horses, not pantomime dames, because they're different things. Because a horse is made out of two people, and a dame's made out of one person, who's actually a man dressed up.
But she doesn't know anything about it. She said so, maybe, in her fantasy world, maybe the pantomime dame does have someone like that.
You could play the back end of a pantomime dame.
Yeah.
you'd need to have words with your agent.
I think we have to give her the benefit of the doubt and say that she can continue with a surreal Iranian image of pantomime dames. And there are 7 seconds starting now.
I'm going to direct my own pantomime where the dame comes riding in on a pantomime horse across the stage for all to see. She will be naked.
So, Shafiq Kasandi was again speaking as a whistle when getting the next point, and she was saved by the whistle, actually, I think, because introducing nakedness at this time of the evening, and also midday on Sundays. mind you, some late risers might still not got the clothes on. You're now in the lead again, my darling.
Hey.
And you're two ahead of Paul Merton, and you're quite a few ahead of Ian McMillan and Tony Hawks. And, Tony, it's your turn to begin. Charm offensive. What a good subject. 60 seconds, starting now.
A charm offensive doesn't always work, especially if you're advancing on someone like, say, Genghis Khan. This would have little effect. What a charming spear you have. That wouldn't do much for you. You're chopping me up with great aplomb. He's still going to go ahead with the procedure, and you will probably pass away as a result. I wouldn't recommend it. However... Creeping,
Paul Challenge.
Slight hesitation there.
No, definitely not.
I must have nodded off then. But I nod off at the beginning.
No, he does certainly put far more emphasis into however than any other word he's spoken up till then.
That's why it might form my brain.
That's what made your brain, yes. And you have 35 seconds starting now.
Many people decide to make something of a charm offensive on our esteemed chairman, Nicholas Parsons, in order to win this game by complimenting him on, say, his tie or jacket or his general...
Four talents.
A couple of oars.
Yeah, yes, yeah. Oars.
Yes, I was sticking my oar in.
I know. 22 seconds, Paul, a correct challenge. Charm offensive is with you starting now.
When I look over at Mr. Nicholas Parsons, I can't help but fill myself with a wonder that I'm working with this man.
What? Tony Challenge.
Did he say feel myself?
No, I tribute to our wonderful chairman, his wonderful judgments.
Yeah, I would.
Excellent.
Let's see if it works.
I would love you to continue, actually, because I was enjoying it.
Yeah, so was I.
But unfortunately, I think Tony had a correct challenge. No, you were tripping up over your words a bit. And so I think we do interpret that as hesitation, Tony. And so you take the subject back. 17 seconds, charm offensive, starting now.
The Tet Offensive during the Vietnam War was totally without charm. I think most of us would agree on that. Whether I could...
Paul Chan.
He's not talking about charm offensive. He makes sense about the exact opposite. Mm. The exact opposite of a charm offensive.
Yes, right. Right, yes. You don't need to get so animated to convince me.
Really?
Yes, absolutely right. And benefit of the doubt if not. And there are 8 seconds for you on charm offensive, Paul, starting now.
He controls this program like a jaguar controls the movements of a rabbit.
Tony Challenge.
Two controls.
Oh, yeah.
it was so good, it was lovely.
But a jaguar eats a rabbit, doesn't he, if he catches it? So you're saying he eats this program?
Yeah. After he's got it transfixed in his eyes.
I've never been compared to a jaguar before. I might drive one, but I don't... often see me and my Jag, you know, sailing along. Oh, there's Nicholas out in his Jag. Oh.
He's a chauffeur, Raymond Holmes.
Paul, you show me how generous I am, even when you make a joke at my expense. That was such a good laugh. A bonus point to Paul Merton for that. Tony, you had a correct challenge. You've got charm offensive still. 4 seconds starting now.
I shall make a charm offensive on this audience, who are quite magnificent in every way. Not once...
Actually, Tony, Shappy challenged a second and a half a second before the whistle went. What was it, Shappy?
I've kind of lost confidence now, but I felt like he was speaking in an accent that wasn't really his own.
That's what you do if you're doing a charm offensive.
I think, Shappy, within the rules of just a minute, he was keeping going under pressure.
I thought. I was just checking to see if you're on the ball.
Wherever you're concerned, I'm always on the ball, darling. Oh, dear. We've now introduced... But there's no reason why you shouldn't have a little sex in just a minute.
I can't speak.
Just up against the washing machine and that's it.
Are we allowed to use...
Oh, dear. They've set me off. But let's give Paul a bonus point for what he said, because that's what corps me, and I think he deserves it. Tony, you were speaking as the whistle went.
Yes.
And so you get a point for that. Have you given it to him, Trudy? I've set the audience off, and now they're interpreting things in all kinds of wrong ways. Shappy, it's your turn to begin. And the subject is my birthday party. 60 seconds as usual, starting now.
I had a birthday party recently. It was my 30th. I only ever celebrate my audition age. I never have a party for my real age, because that's not...
Tony Challenge.
Repetition of age.
Yes, it was too much age, darling.
Yes, that's what my point was. I'm too old.
So, Tony, a correct challenge, and you have my birthday party, 52 seconds, starting now.
For my birthday party this year, I've hired the Manchester Opera House, and I shall fill it full of this audience, who are quite magnificent in every way. There are some people missing at the moment, because we're not full right at the top of this terrific auditorium.
Paul challenge.
That's terrific. The deviation from how terrific is normally pronounced.
No, he was dragging it out a little, but not enough to be hesitation or deviation from English as we understand it. Interpret some way, yes. If we get, when they're trying to keep going like that and I jump on things like that and give it against them, it would be completely unfair. So, Tony, an incorrect challenge. You have 34 seconds. You still have my birthday party starting now.
I shall have individual cakes for every single person. Hang the cost! Little candles placed in the beautiful pastry. Look, you're just jealous because you're not invited.
No. No, I think, Tony, you did drag that one out. That went out too long. So, Shappy, a correct challenge to you, and 24 seconds on my birthday party starting now.
It's difficult to have birthday parties when you are much older because all your friends have children and it's rude to tell them not to bring them with them, and then they all come.
Ian, you challenge.
To thems.
So, to thems. Well, listen, Ian.
And also, if all the friends got children, she's got children too.
Yes, but yes. Mine's a baby. It doesn't make too much noise.
Our baby's not children these days.
Yes, but it doesn't break things yet.
He's still a child, darling.
Yeah.
Sure.
Right, Ian, correct challenge. 16 seconds. My birthday party is starting now.
My last birthday.
Oh, that.
That was a hesitation.
That was a hesitation.
You noticed that, didn't you?
I didn't
notice it.
No.
Did you notice it?
What happened then?
You must have fallen asleep.
I was asleep. What, I'm 52.
He's 52. He shouldn't be falling asleep.
Sure.
No. Well, it's very hot here in the Opera House, isn't it? Yeah. Right. 15 seconds, Paul, a correct challenge. My birthday party starting now.
I remember my... It was a great You went like that. You went like you had asthma. Even more so, you shouldn't pick on my disability.
No, Ian, that was an incorrect challenge. Paul,
but it was as long as my hesitation.
Oh, no, yours was a definite hesitation.
Yeah, mine was definitely asthma.
No. You could have made a ham sandwich in your hesitation.
No.
You could have made a ham sandwich. You could have bought the bread, you would have gone down the shops, got butter, and you put the ham, you could have made a ham sandwich.
Yeah, but you could have raised the pig and then killed it. Yeah.
Right, have you two finished your little conversation over there together?
Yeah,
they are sitting together, sparking each other off. 14 seconds. And I've forgotten now who challenged. It was... Oh, I remember. You were very sharp, I'm afraid, on Paul. And so it was an incorrect challenge. Paul still has the subject. My birthday party. 14 seconds, starting now.
All the local children were invited, and some of them came, and they bought presents with them. And they were fantastic gifts. I remember sitting there in our living room, opening up these packages, covered in the most gaily covered paper. Sellotape.
Ian challenge.
Covered and covered. They were covered.
They were
in
two covered.
Covered paper.
Oh, yes.
And covered in the gaily covered paper.
Was it the sparks that put you off?
I couldn't see through the smoke. I couldn't see through the smoke.
No.
I have a follow-up question. I mean, all the children were invited and only some of them came. Were you... Was this a huge disappointment to you?
It was a huge disappointment, but I've managed to turn it into a subject of comedy.
Back to just a minute. My birthday party, Ian. Oh, and you got
Ian. Ian, that's my stage name. My stage name is Ian Oh.
No, I was getting an exclamation that I twisted.
Is it a full moon?
No. Let me get it out.
You get it out, it's only real.
Right. Listen, there's only half a second to go. So you've gone in very cleverly with half a second on my birthday party starting now.
Madagascar is a great place.
Right. So Ian McMillan was speaking as the whistle went, gained that extra point. He's moving forward. He's in fourth place, just behind Tony Hawkes, who's a few behind Shappy Kosandi. And Shappy is only two behind our present leader, Paul Merton. Still a very interesting competition, if you're interested in that. I agree, I'm more interested in the fun. Ian, it's your turn to begin. Will you take this subject now? Packing for the holidays. 60 seconds, starting now.
When we were little, packing for the holidays was a great traumatic thing because of my dad's trilby. My mother would insist on putting my dad's titfur in the case.
Shabby challenge.
My dad's.
Three mice, yes.
Three mice and several dads.
They used to come every night. Monday night, we had the Monday night dad. Tuesday night, the Tuesday night dad. Wednesday night, Uncle Frank.
We might let a couple of mice go, but three, no. Shabby, well, listen, 53 seconds available. Packing for the holidays, starting now.
I'm rubbish at packing for my holidays, especially since I've had a baby. I end up packing loads of stuff for the child.
Tony challenge.
You jinxed me.
Was there a slight hesitation?
It was a slurring of speech, which I didn't understand.
Well, I'd put it to you that that's a hesitation.
All right. We'll interpret that as hesitation. Benefit of the doubt, Tony, and 48 seconds on packing for the holidays starting now.
Holidays are very difficult to pack, and yet they still have package holidays. What a mystery that is.
Paul Charles.
What's he talking about?
I don't know.
Yes,
you've interpreted the word package in a different way from packing. This is packing your possessions, your clothes, for a holiday, not a package holiday.
I don't care. I don't care anymore. I've lost interest.
Well, no, I have to explain the reason for my decisions, otherwise I do get letters. And
I write those letters.
I know. I recognise the writing now.
Yeah, it's mine, yeah.
40 seconds, Paul, a correct challenge. Packing for the holidays starting now.
Well, what you do is you simply look for your underwear and you think, how long am I going away for? 5 days, and I should get the appropriate number of underpants, which I reckon is between somewhere 4 and 6, and you put them into the suitcase, and with socks, trousers, shirts, that's all you need to do. A bit of shaving equipment, perhaps some foam, a razor.
Tony challenge.
I was going to say, not if you're a woman. But then you might do, actually, the shaving equipment
as well. I'm not talking as a mongoose in 17th century.
Paul, you had an incorrect challenge. You have 24 seconds. Packing for the holidays starting now.
Going to Butlin's holiday camp when I was about 8 years old was tremendously exciting because you had to bring with you some football shorts and a pair of appropriate boots in order to run around on a field playing soccer with other children of the same age as you. It was a fantastic experience, and I remember opening...
Tony challenge.
I think he deviated there because I thought... Well, he wasn't really talking about
packing
the holidays.
Nobody'd finished there. I remember opening the suitcase and you buzzed on opening.
Well, let's see what Nicholas thinks.
if you want to see what Nicholas thinks, press the red button now.
Tony, I always try to be fair, as you know, always, and give the correct decisions, but I had the impression that he packed all those things and he got them all out at Butlin's and was running around with them.
I like the way you said, I always try to make correct decisions, but...
But not everybody will agree with
that. Okay, fine.
Because you all have your own interpretation. And packing for the holiday is still with you, Paul. 6 seconds to go, starting now.
Billie Holiday and her brother, August Bank, are terrible packers. So what I do is I go round and I do it all for them.
So Paul Merton was then speaking again as Whistle Wendy has increased his lead at the end of that round. Let me give you the situation as we go into the final round. Ian McMillan, who's only played the game once before, is in a very strong fourth place. He's training Tony Hawks a little, who has played it, and Shappy, who's only played it once before. Shappy's in a powerful second position behind our leader, Paul Merton. And Paul, it's your turn actually to begin. Here's a weird subject. Do what you can with it. Who knows where this may lead? Very poetic in a way. But will you talk on the subject if you can? 60 seconds, starting now.
Who knows where this may lead? Those were the last words I uttered, and now is the rest of my life. What will happen when I leave this venue? I will go to the hotel. Myself and Nicholas will find it a sweet corner. And in just a minute, we'll come out of that particular recess and join the rest of the party back at the hotel.
Ian challenge.
Two hotels.
Yes,
Mr. Two hotels. Yes, Ian, well, listen. Who knows where this may lead? You have 42 seconds starting now.
Who knows where this may lead was one of my dad's favourite songs, along with Donald Wears Your Trousers by Andy Stewart and Puppet on a String by Sandy Shaw.
Paul challenge.
Repetition of Bye.
By Andy Say Yes. Oh, well, listen, Paul
they
Sharp
the
there.
Person, they were, yeah. Mm-hmm. Worked under the name for a while of Sandy Stewart.
That's right.
Yeah.
Was it Andy Shaw?
It was Andy Shaw, wasn't it?
Yeah. Listen, you two, will you just stop chatting amongst yourselves? We're trying to play Justin...
You don't understand, during the recording, we've undergone a civil partnership.
Yes.
Oh, right.
And what? I'm an adopting Shappy's baby.
Oh, are you? No, she
got... Who are you? Madonna?
Yeah.
Just because my baby's a little bit brown, you can't have him.
I said we should have mentioned it to her first. We should have done that. I did say she'd be funny, didn't I?
Yeah, yeah. Let's get back to Just a Minute.
Yeah.
28 seconds, Paul. We're still with you. Who knows where this may lead, starting now?
Who knows where this may lead? Tony Hawks may suddenly wake up from his party reverie. Imagine inviting all these people here to his wonderful birthday celebrations. Who knows where this may lead? It's a magnificent statement of optimism for the future. We're a proud country here in Britain. Let's march and take on the world. We can go into Japan and say, look, what am I talking about?
Paul!
You
shouldn't have stopped. You had the whole of this audience with you. They're on their feet. They were about to follow you somewhere.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know why you changed. So Tony Hawks is a correct challenge.
What was the challenge?
Deviation.
Why?
Because he said...
Who knows where this may lead? It led to me exhorting the audience to follow me to Japan.
He said, what am I talking about? And if he doesn't know what he's talking about...
We loved it, though, Paul.
Yeah, so did I.
A bonus point, because we enjoyed Paul's tirade.
Next Wednesday's good for me. I don't
know about that. And Tony really had a correct challenge for deviation, so he gets a point. He takes over the subject. 5 seconds to go. Who knows where this may lead, Tony, starting now.
So far, everyone has begun this subject by saying, who knows where this may lead?
So, who knows where this may lead? Let me give you the final situation. Ian McMillan, who contributed so much, but did finish in fourth place, but a very fine fourth place. Tony Hawks, who's always done well, but he finished only in third place, because Shappy Cassandy, who's only played the game once before, she finished in a fine second place, and she was just behind Paul Merton, who this week, once again, is our winner. So it only remains me to say thank you to these four fine players and exponents of this game. I thank Trudy Stevens, who's helped me note a score down. She's blown her whistle with great aplomb throughout. We thank our producer, Talusha Galani. We're indebted to Ian Messiter, who created this unusual and amazing game. And we're grateful to this lovely audience, these massed ranks of Mancunians sitting at the Opera House in Manchester. Thank you for listening. And from the Mancunian audience and from me, Nicholas Parsons, and our team, goodbye. Tune in the next time we play Just a Minute. Yes!